This year is followed by a rapid review. After the rapid review, there is the same daf from the previous cycle of Daf Yomi with a different ambience and different participants, which may interest you as a chazara or maybe actually the one you prefer hearing. Today's daf is Daf Lamed Zayin in Masechet Avodah Zarah. We continue now on Lamed Zayin Omer Aleph. And we got up to Mistanach Va'ozo, which is the first word over here on the sixth line down. Mistanach Va'ozo, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Katfid, Rabbi Smaloi Shami. Now, of course, we heard all the nasty comments about Rabbi Smaloi yesterday. That is, according to Rav, he was a member of the Luddites that were very mezalzel in the Takonis. Now, obviously, these are mezalzel and Takonis that were not able to be either in Rovat Sibri Yecholim La'amoidbo, or because they were not Misparshet, people weren't Mekabel them. As I mentioned yesterday, there's many machloksin about whether either of those timim are sufficient, whether it's a combination of the two, whether it's only because of the fact that they were not able to lamed by, or whether they were not able to be lamed by, can occur even after the original one-year period. But in any event, they actually had been aimed on the fact that when it came both to the shemen and to the pot, the bottom line was this was not something that was properly accepted in Israel. So as Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, this was when Rabbi Smaloi was younger, Rabbi Smaloi was his valet, was his shaman, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was an old man, and he was leaning on Rabbi Smaloi as they were walking. And he says to him, Smaloi, my friend, you missed an important day yesterday. Lo ayita emesh bebeit ha-midrash. Yesterday we finally got a minyan for Beis Din together. Kishitarna tashemen, and we were matir, the oil of the akku. Omar Loz, Reb Smaloi said, we should be zeiche, be amenu tatira fatapat. We should get rid of that gezeira about pat akum also, alavai. Omar Loz, now if we do that, they're going to think we're a bunch who join the conservatives. Imken korolon beit dina sharia, they're going to end up calling us the matir bezdin. We don't want to be known as the matir bezdin, and they won't take us seriously. Yeah, apparently he was still young enough. It's not. Heyid Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzreida, Al-Ayl Kamtzadechan. Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer was made that this particular type of locust, we're going to get into his various psukim later today, but let's just, Al-Ayl Kamtzad is the name of a particular species of locust, and he said it was kosher to eat. And he was further made Al-Mashke Beit Bechaya, that the mashkin in the Beit HaMikdash, where they reshechted the carbonates, means the dam, or the water that was used for washing off the contents of the stomach and so on, of the animals, all of this is tahar. Now, the Gemara will discuss later tahar in what sense. Tahar from being matame, tahar that can't be mekabel tuma, what would be the base of it, that we'll see later. And furthermore, very strange edus, that someone who touches a dead person is tame. It's shocking. Al diikrav lamita messiah. And because of that, they used to call him, you mean Yosef the martyr, him, Yosef ben Yoezer. I don't want to be one of those. Later on, the Gemara is going to say, what do you mean? The third thing, first of all, is the right, obviously, and it's not a heter. He's saying it's also. Why would they call him? But again, let's take it at face value right now. He said three heterim, and they already killed him for it. I mean, you got to watch out. Omar Laser, Smaloi said, okay, but over there, he was matir three things. You were only matir one thing, so you got one more to go. But it's still safe. And so you could still be matir the pot. Omar Layatam Shara Tlat, Mara Shara Choda. So if you just do one more heter, and you're matir the pot, we could still get away with murder. Vishori Mara Choda. They had their problems in those days too. You know, I mean, once. Yeah, that's it. You know, it's like the Satmar Rebbe said, wait a minute, they're only believing, when they asked him, you know, why, you can't you tell them what the halacha is? You're the Rebbe. So tell them this is how you pass. He said, I'm only the Rebbe because I agree with them. The moment I start telling them something else, I'm not the Rebbe anymore. So, but you still have got one more shot, you know, so why don't you use it to be matir the pot? So, Mar Chodach, Riti Akati, you still have now, you only were matir one thing, Mar Shara Chodach. So, Yishari Mar Chodach, Riti. If you're going to be matir one more thing, it's still only going to be two strikes. So, then Akati Tartin Nadavian, you won't be out yet. I'm like, no, it's bad news, I already wasted that shot. Outstanding. There was another thing they'll get me for. So, you know, and once it's on the internet, forget it. They'll all know about this heter. Really? What was that? My heat. That's not. This is a maisa with a tznai and a get. Somebody says, Zegitech im lobati mikan vat shneimas ha-chodesh. So he makes a condition that this should be a get if I don't show up within the 12 months. And then he dies within the 12 months and he never shows up.
He was going on the trip from the
day. Yeah, of course. Ain't no get. So that's not considered to be a get because since he said, when I come, so then it would be a get la'achar mitah, at the end of the 12 months when I don't show up. But that point is not alive. You can't give a get la'achar mitah, and therefore she was not p'tura from Yibum. So in the case of Yibum, she would be stuck. Now, over there, there was a question. If, in the Mishnah mentions that if he says, me'achshav, me'ayom, so then he meant to say that the get should be chal now, and there's only a condition which allows the get to be chal now. And then if he dies, so then it's not a problem, because the get was chal at the time that he gave the get, because the condition was mekuyam.
He never came back.
Well, no, he never came back, nor will he ever come back. Yeah. Now,
will come back.
Huh?
Certainly will come back.
Yeah. V'toni Allah, so the Braita says over there, V'rabotenu hitiru alina, say, nonetheless, our rabbis, it doesn't mention any names, but we know, they were matur her to go and to get married without requiring Yibum or Chalitza. And we said over there, who's those Rabotenu? On Rabbi Yonah Mishmah, that's that famous Bez that was matur the oil. So they all knew already that that was Rabbi Yonah Nasiya. The basis was, why indeed were they matur? Because they held that Rabbi Yossi, who says Manu Shoshtar Mochia Chalav over there, we have the classic case where somebody gives one of his children his property and says that this should be yours, Mehayom. Everybody's made it, but says Mehayom, Leachar Moti. That the understanding of that is that it's a living will. In other words, he's transferring the property now. This is a very modern device to get out of taxes, where you make a living will to a charitable organization. So you give the property, at that point you get a tax write-off, and you continue to use the income, so long as you're alive. So it's got a living will. People would do this also for their children. They don't trust the kids not to cut them off. On the other hand, so they want to control the income. But on the other parents. But on the other hand, they want to make sure that there's not going to be a fight over the estate. So they give the estate in their life, controlling now the income as long as they're living. So this is what the Mishnah is talking about. And over there, Rabbi Yossi says, you don't even have to say Mehayon. Because the very fact that the contract is dated implies that it's dated for the purpose of being chal at that time. So that means that it becomes legally valid at that day, and then we understand by definition that the meaning of the words after I die means that the control of the income goes to you only then. But that right now you own the actual property. So now, Rabbi Yudin Asiyah held that the same way that Rabbi Yossi says that the Zman of Shashtar is Mokhiya Chalam, then that would be true about a get. So the Zman of the get is Mokhiya Chalam, that he means the get to be Chal today. And when he said, Im Lobati, he means a condition. But the condition would allow the Shtar, meaning the get, to be retroactively Chal from the date in which it's stated. And everybody agreed to that. The Mishnah says that the Pharisee Rabbanon agree that if you say Mehayom, so then that is how we interpret it. That I only mean this to be a condition. I don't mean it to be a time lapse. Okay, so when the condition is chal, then retroactively the get was chal. The Omer of Abba, Breder B'chir Bar Abba, actually, this was Rabbi Yehuda's, Nesiah's, Hurrah, and as long as he was alive, nobody would allow it. The Lohodu lo koshato, others say kosiato, none of the other members of the Bezdin would go along with it, but anyway, this ruined my reputation. Oh, yeah, okay, this is part of that question, why we should say Rabbi Yossi would be applicable. That's why they were invited to. Because over there, we're saying the only purpose of writing it would have been for it to be Hashem getting the get, has other reasons we were misacking the date of the get. Omale Rabbi Elazar Lahu Saba. So Rabbi Elazar told a certain old man who was still alive and had been present in that Beit Din. So he asked him, and the Ahu Saba took it as a little bit of a sarcastic remark. So he asked him, you know, Kishimitua, when you were matur this woman to get married, were you matur to get married immediately? Because since the guy died, He's no longer going to be coming after 12 months, and you're interpreting it as a condition. So then the condition was fulfilled, because obviously the point of the condition is only that I should not be showing up. Well, you ain't going to be showing up. I mean, why would you need it to be specifically that it actually happened already? Because that certainly wasn't the meaning.
To wait the 12 months?
Yeah, to wait the 12 months. So that's the question. The minute the guy died, did it become a kosher get retroactively? The Rishonim explained there was no question that the intent of the Tanai was only that he shouldn't be able to come, but that they were gezer because of the fact that people maybe reinterpret other cases in the same way where it wouldn't be applicable. So what would be what was the case over there? Is it you were matir immediately dolati because the fact is that now he's not coming? Or is it only when it actually happened, L'Achash Shabbos HaKodesh, D'Oi Kayim Le Tanoi? So the Ahu Saba said to him, look, what are you asking me for? It's totally irrelevant. This has nothing to do with our psak. This is the psak of the Mishnah. All we did is we said that the time of the shtar is the equivalent of the Miachshav in the Mishnah. So, you know, what kind of smart alecky question is this? The question is addressable exactly the same way to the Mishnah. Don't start analyzing. So, I mean, how far were you ready to go? That's not the issue. V'tibayelecha matnitin. The Mishnah has exactly this case where you spoke out the fact that it was meant to be me'ayom. So, harezik yitek me'akshav. Im lo bati mikan v'at shnei masach chodesh. Umeit b'tok shnei masach chodesh. Havi get. So he came late to know. You have exactly the same question on the Mishnah. Because of the fact that at this point the Tanai, in effect, is absolutely clear. He's not coming. Or is the Tanai meant to be actually Mekuyim only Lachash Nemes? Which doesn't really make sense. Because we're saying the whole point of the Tanai is not that he meant to delay things Lachash Nemes. So again, that would be because of Gzeir, almost all the Mepharshim say. So Rabbi Elazar said to him, no, I didn't mean it in that way. I do have the question on the Mishnah. It's because you were there. I wanted to know what did they say? That was Alok HaLamais, the Ribbing Matir. I figured I'd understand from what they did. I'd understand how they understood the Mishnah. So I'm asking you, Mishum Da'avita Ba'u Minyona, you were present at that Minyan, and you know whether, in point of fact, they were Matir immediately or not. That's why I asked you. Omer Abaye.
He doesn't answer.
No, we don't know. Yeah. Omer Abaye. Hakomodim. Likishit L'maisa were Matir. Yeah. Omar Abaye, Hakom Modim, Lekishitecha Maminartika, that in a case like this, where somebody would have said that this should be your get, and it has a date, but he says, when the sun finally comes out, and he dies during the night, they already gave the get was dated on that day, that in that case, what he means is, definitely, if he's Mayit Balayla, it's a get li'achamita, because he meant lichinaf. It was dated today. He meant today at the time that the sun will shine, meaning in the morning. So there would be no question, even Rabbi Yossi would have agreed in that case. And furthermore, if he said clearly the words conditional on the sun's rising, so then also, that definitely would have been the equivalent of saying me'akshav. We're going to see why, because the klal is, every almanat is shemir me'akshav, dami. And therefore, even the Rabbanan who argued Rabbi Yossi over in the case of Imlobati would be made in that case that it certainly is retroactive. And there, v'chimayit b'layla, if he dies during the night, it doesn't matter. It's definitely a condition. Vaday tana, and the get was retroactively chal at the time that it was dated, and therefore was a get mechayimu when he gave it to her. That is based on the principle of Rav Huna. The Omer Rav Huna, wherever you use the language of conditional upon almanat, you're definitely saying conditional upon means it is now conditional upon. That's the point. So it's definitely mi'akshav dami. Where is the machloket lo nechko ela be'im teitse? The point isn't kishet teitse, im teitse, not almanat teitse, not kishet teitse, but im teitse. So Rabbi Yehuda anosi savlak Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda again means nesiya. Remember, so this is Rabbi's grandson. So he owns like Rabbi Yossi, who holds zbanu shtar mochiach alav, which is the full equivalent of saying me'ayom imati, me'akshav imati, where you're making it very clear that it's conditional. Rabbanan letla de Rabbi Yossi, So they say it's the equivalent of a typical case of areza gitech imati. In that case, areza gitech imati is a problem because we can understand it as a change of art. This is you get, but only when I die. Gufa. Getting to those three cases, by the way, about Yossi ben Yoezer, what do they mean, first of all? Hey, Yossi ben Yoezer, yishtudah ayl kamsa dechan, v'al mashkebe mitbachaya dechan, v'al diyikrav lamita misayu, and they used to call him Yosef Sharia. Let's get the case straight. What the heck is an ayl kamsa, anyway? My ayl kamsa. Rav Papa says that's the shushiba. And Rav Chiya bar Ami b'shbeidu omar, that's a suzbil. Now, these are names of locusts. Now, the question over here revolves around, the Gemara in Chulin revolves around the question of how to understand the four minim that the Torah lists in the Arba, Solom, Chargol, and Chagav. That the Torah mentions the Feirish. Are those a klal uprat, or is it a klal prat or klal? Depending how you read the pasuk there. Now, if it's a klal uprat, so then the understanding of the four minim that are listed is that we mean those things that are precisely the same as these minim. So that they would have to have the four simonim that those four different minim have in common. But if they have those four simonim plus something else that the minim don't have in common, and that's the problem of the ayil kamsa, according to Papa says it's a shushiba. Because what the shushiba is, it has the four minim, so that it has the simonim, so it has the long wings that cover it, has the 4 feet, it has the two jumping legs that the Torah requires. The problem is that it also has a long face. It's sort of like a praying mantis. So the question is whether that means it is not similar to those, because it's a klal uprat. Yeah. In the klal uprat, it has to be exactly the same. It's not.
Isn't word only four?
Right. No. When you're describing these minim, the minim are broad, but it means exactly that share what these four things share in common. As a Rosh Oroch, it doesn't have what these things share in common. If it's klal prado klal, then it doesn't matter. It has those four things, it may have other things. It doesn't have to be exactly the same. So anything that which is kain aprat would be included. So he was darshing as a klal prado klal. Mamela, he held at the shushiba, even though the shushiba is a long face, is the same as the others. It's not a problem. Masha'inke, the chachomim held it's a klal prat. So if it's missing, if it would be missing, everybody would understand. It doesn't have the 4 wings, it doesn't have the long wings, it doesn't have the 4 legs, it doesn't have the jumping legs. Those are the simonim. But there's also the anti-simonim. So having something not the same as an anti-simon, which means that bedafket would be tame. So they're arguing Barosh Aroch. According to Rav Papa, the Shushiba is kamifke Barosh Aroch, whereas Rav Chiya bar Ami holds, no. Marsava Rosho Aroch, Marsava Rosho Aroch is also Marsava Rosho Aroch. Rav Chiya bar Ami, Mishbeidu Ula, he holds the Suspil. And he says, Barosho Aroch Kuleyomi Lopligi, everybody's motive that the Rosho Aroch is Osir. Now, Tosfos shows that this doesn't make sense according to the Sugya in Chulin. Because it's definitely not true that everybody would agree that it's Osir. On the contrary, everybody might agree that it's Mut. And he changes the gears here. And he says that he's found that in that gears. Which is a Rosh Aroch definitely Mutter. Therefore, it would not have required Yossi ben Yoezer to be Mutter. The question over here is, Knafaf Chofinet Rubo Yedei Atchak. That's the Suspil. The Suspil does match the four Simone Tyra of a Klal Prado Klal. The problem is that in order to see that the Suspil is a kosher species, you need a ruler. Because the wings, they do cover most of the body, but only if you're careful to measure. In other words, if you look at it, you're not sure. It would be like an esser, you know. You're never sure. So you'd need a magnifying glass and a ruler. So that's the question. Is that considered to be knafaf chofinet rubo ayidei atchak, where it's just a little bit more than robe? By the way, there's a whole question over here whether that is something that's a diaraisa issue or is that the rabbanu a geyser. Some of the achronim say, what could possibly be the marker of requiring things to be not al yedei a ruler? That has to be nikkel ayin. Okay, there's achronim. It's clear about some of the rishonim that we're arguing about a d'oraisa. In other words, what is the terror? What is the shear that the terror refers to bichlal when it's giving? Because those things have in common a long wing, that is nicker as a long wing. It's certainly possible that the Torah relates to a simple vision of things the way it does many halachas are like that. So, in any event, that's the machlokes. The Marsav Aruba means a technical road. Ruba Kaldu. Therefore, the Suspil is kosher. Marsav, and that's Reb Yosef ben Yoezer. And the Rabbanan held Ruba the Minka, but, you know, we need a absolutely clear road that anybody would look at it, would see immediately this has the form Simoni. Fine.
But to those who learn Ribo and Mirs, are we eating a whole bunch of different Tzatzim, or black water, and just the...
Enoch Hinam, yeah, it would be a completely different approach, sure. V'almashke beimad b'chaya d'chan. Now, when you say that the mashkin in the Azora are tohar, what do you mean, that they're tohar? My d'chan. Rav says it means that they're tohar. In other words, even if they touched Tuma, they would be tohar. V'shmuel amar d'chan melatame acherim. They won't be metame other things, but certainly if they themselves touch Tuma, they will still be tame. Tuma atzman yeshbem. What's the basis of this? Rav Amar Dechan Mamash. He holds Tumat Mashkin as a whole, even to be mekabel Tuma, is all the Rabbonu. It says in the Torah Beferish, the list of the Mashkin, and it says Beferish v'chol mashka asher yishaseh tame. So the Gemara talks about this in Pesachim and says that when it says Yitma, it means Hechsher. Will make things Mukshar l'kabel Tuma, but not that it itself will be Makabel Tuma as a Mashka. The Rabbonu were geyser that they'll actually be Makabel Tuma themselves. And the Rabbanim were only Gezer Tuma, Mekrigozer Rabbanim Tuma B'mashkin the Alma. Why would they be Gezer Tuma in a Mokum Kodesh where it's going to cause us Srefas Kachim problems? This, so they weren't Gezer there at all. So Mashkebet Ben Bechayel Gezer Rabbanim. Shmuel holds no. The Chan, the Rabbanim could only deal with the Takana the Rabbanim. So they were only able to be makil that the mashkin there in the Beit Hamikdash will not be metame acheri. Avo tumat atzvam yeshbem, because Shmuel holds tumas mashkin is diuraita. So that yitma means they themselves will become tamei. But the chiddush that they can be metame other things, that's a drabbanan. The tame acherim is drabbanan. Because but you're right, it'll only be mashir other things. It won't be literally metame other things. The chigozer rabbanan b'mashkin the alma, and the rabbanan were gozer in. Now is the time. That's like Moshe Rabbeinu asking of the Eni Nostra Checha, just at the moment where he got away with murder. Okay, and Mashke Beit Bechayit Minatam Yacherim, they weren't Gezer. Now the last thing was really weird. Yosef Ben Yoezer was Gezer that somebody who touches a mace should be Tomei. Al Diyakriv Lebeitha Messiah. And because of that, they called him Yosef the Mater. I mean, I don't get it. First of all, I mean, if they're going to call him anything, they should have called him Yosef the Aser. I mean, even though two out of the three was a heter, but I mean, the order that you say it in is a little silly. Well, you just start off with he was willing to go along with Tumas Meis, but the other things, but the way you're saying it, it's as if you're attached, and the final straw was, they called him Yosef the Mater because he asked Tumas Meis. What's the sense in that? Not to mention that I could have sworn I read about that in the Holy Book. Oh, the Araita, I thought it says, the kol asher yigal p'nei ha-sadeh, b'chalal cherev obe meit, obe etzem adam, yitma shivat yamin. No, what do I need him? No, hold on. Here's it. You're not being medayik. Note that what he says is, dal di yikrav lemita misai. That has to be understood as only one who touches a meit is tamei. That's the point. Because the Uraita, look, if you touch a mate, so then you're tame. But if you touch someone who touched a mate, so then you're not going to be tame. The ikrav will be tar. The rab, we'll see. We're not finished. Otu inu, so the rabbanon were gazer that even someone who comes into contact with a tame mace, who himself had touched the avia vaisatuma, would also be tame. And he was matir that. And he said, no. Only the Yakriv, only somebody who actually touches the mate. But if you touch someone who touched the mate, then not. So he's being matir. He was taking away the Takanos Chachamim. That's why they called him. So first of all, that's the Chiddush and what he did. And secondly, that's why they called him a Matir, not an Oser. So obviously, if we're trying to bring a list of three Heterim, then the Yakrev means only the Yakrev and not the extensions that other people have. So Otu Inu V'Gozra Afilu D'Yakrev, B'Yakrev, even someone who touches someone who touched the maid, and he came along and put it back on the original din d'oraita. Va'ata iu v'ukma d'oraita. And therefore they called him Yosef the Matir man. Wait a minute. I remember that from the holy book also. The thing about touching a tamei maid. It says kol ashir yiga. It said first, right? Yitma shivat yamim. And then it says v'chol ashir yiga bo hatamei yitma. No, I understand. That's pretty clear that the same tamei that we were referring to in the first pasuk, kol asher yiga yitma, that anything that he touches will be tamei. So what are you telling me that that's a derabbanan? What's that a derabbanan? The akrev be the akrev nami the araita he. Dichtiv kol asher yiga bo hatamei yitma. Amru rabbanan kamei the rova mishmed marzuta greater of Nachman. Yomer mishmed of Nachman. That the meaning is like this. You're right, of course it's true. Kol ashi yigabo hatameh yitma. But when? Dafka, when he's still mechubra to the mate. So as if he is touching the mate, and at that point you touch a person who's touching the mate, then it's a continuation. Kol asher yiga yitma, and then kol ashi yigabo hatameh yitma. Okay, that's a question. There's a tremendous machlokas here, which is very nagei halacha lemaisa. Does that mean because you touch someone touching a mace pechiburi, that it's as if you touch the mace? Or is this a new tuma? The person is the new tuma. The nafkamina will be, let's say you're touching a chatzi gezayas of basar hamet. And that person is touching the chatzis ayat the basar hamet. So, are you touching the chatzis ayat the basar hamet? In which case, okay, so now we have contact. Become tome.
Right?
Yeah. Mashiach, it would be like an extension. We sort of the concept of a yodis, very cute, right? So that's the shayla. How do we understand what happened here? Okay.
How do they learn that?
Because we let the Gemara is going to follow through on that. That's actually machlokas why we're being medayik in this way. But the pasuk we'll see in a minute. So therefore, if it was bechiburin, so then he would be kol asher yigabo. He would be tumashiva. So that would be the equivalent of the tamei meis. But if it wasn't bechiburin, it would be tumas erev only, like a normal avatuma. And avatuma is metame someone. So then he's Tamei Ad Arev. Whoever heard of being Tamei Shivas Yomim, that was a special din in Tumas Meis. So the Rabbonin were Gezer. Obviously, it's easy to get confused. Bechiburin, Shaloi Bechiburin. So they were Gezer, Afilo Shaloi Bechiburin, there should be Tumas Shivas Yomim. Comes along now Yossi Ben Yoezer, and he restored it to the Dioraita. So Va'ata Iyov Ukma Adioraita. Wait a minute. I want to look at the Dioraita and the Pasuk again now. The Makor of the Dioraita was what? Dioraita Mai. Tiv hanogea b'meta chot nefesh adam v'tamei shivat yamim v'chol asher yigabo hatamei yitma uchtiv hanefesh hanogat titma ad ha'arev. So now, you're telling me that there's two stages. In other words, you start off with defining this person asher yiga. So he is yitma. And then there's the second stage, v'chol asher yiga bo hatame yitma. And then there's a third stage of hanefesh hanogat yitma adaret. Obviously, otherwise why are you repeating hanefesh hanogat? So there must be three stages. So one of them is a direct transference. Kol asher yiga bo hatame yitma, the way that he is. And then a nefesh anogat in something else.
Without
keyboard. Oh, so that's what you're darshan, okay? So therefore, we have to understand it. This is what the pasuk forces us to distinguish between the way that he is still the nefesh anogat or not. So if it's hakeh, it's a kan b'chiburin. And Khan, Shalom b'chiburin, and that's what Rabbi Nachman explained, and therefore Yosef ben Yoezer is a mekel, because he was going back on the Takana of the Rabbanan, and he didn't hold of Shivas Yomim, Shalom b'chiburin. Amalu Rava, cut it out. You know, every time somebody's got something to say, it's always Rabbi Yashin. I've told you a million times. Lotite le buki sriki b'Rav Nachman. Stop hanging these empty bottles on Rav Nachman and claiming that he says it, you know, that because he was the big dying, we know so many other Gemaras. So whenever they want to say something, they put his signature on there, whatever, it's a little stamp on it. I mean, it happens to be that I know for a fact that Rav Nachman had a totally different approach in Yossi Ben Yehuda, which I'll be happy to share with you. It had nothing to do with this business of Chibur. What Rav Nachman himself said is that the issue of the contention between Yossi Ben Yehuda and the Chachamim was Nogea Sofik Tuma Brishut HaRabim, and he was Matir Sofik Tuma Brishut HaRabim. What do you mean he was Matir? It's halacha l'mishmi Sinai. We learned that from Saita. Whole issue in Tosfos, if it's halacha, we need Saita. Okay, so Tosfos says if it wouldn't be halacha, we wouldn't really be able to derive it directly from Saita. Now we put it together, but it's a lav dafka to say literally be Saita gamrinalo. But we certainly compare it to the Sota. Just like Sota, where the Torah uses the word yitma, or tum'ah, again and again. And that, by definition, leaves room only for two people. It's her and her lover. Otherwise, she's not nisteret. So therefore, we learn from there that the definition, and there's a suffix, and yet we assume that she's Tmeya. So similar to Sota, if there's only two people in the area, that's Tame, if you have a suffix. If you have three people in the area, then it becomes Rosh Hashanah. Not to be confused with Rosh Hashanah, like Abi Shabbos and so on. Here it's a question of population. But in any event, what do you mean he was matir suffik tumar v'sarabim? I mean, this is halacha l'mishum Sinai. Ma sotar reshut hayachid, af tumar reshut hayachid. Ah, but you see, you know that Rabbi Yochanan said, it's true that that's the halacha, but in morin came. We don't want to be berabim, that hey, you don't have to worry about these kind of speculations. People will come to be bezalzel. So we didn't tell them openly. And he went along, v'ata you, and he was meire berabim, v'ari, and he was meire that there should be an actual smach, sorry, on the halach of Sofek Tumra B'Rishut HaRabim. And in fact, Tanyam Yochi, in a bright that brings an actual mice, as Rabbi Yehuda says, that Yossi ben Yoezer, which, I mean, the way you were learning it had something to do with the question of Tumah v'Chiburim, none of this makes sense in the Braita. So clearly the Braita has got a different understanding of what was going on, that Rabbi Yehuda said that Yossi ben Yoezer actually went outdoors, he took wood, korot, and he made simonim at the corners of the field to say, Ad kan, Rishut HaYachid, Ad kan Rishut HaRabim, Ad kan Rishut HaYachid, that up until here, generally there's people that are walking. Memela, it's not considered to be a private area. And from this point on, it's the valley where very few people are found. Over there, it depends, of course, in the season. If it's a time where people are in the field working, it becomes Rishut HaRabim. If not, it's Rishut HaYachid. But, I mean, if that's the point, so then clearly that was the issue. And nobody else wanted to take that on themselves. And they said, you should be machmer, not to be semech on that. And in fact, Yadav came to Rabbi Yanai. If somebody would come to Rabbi Yanai and have a suffix tumor for Shtarabim, he would say to them, look, last I heard, there's still water out there in the lakes and the puddles. You know, you got a problem? Go be taifa. What's your problem? Maya bishikata, the benara. Zilatvolo, go. What do you? We have to find the heter. Now, this is a very important nakuda because the rivet builds on this, many rishonim argue, a general approach that where you have a heter based on a suffix, if it's easy for you to get out of the suffix, so then you should do something about it. Otherwise, what do you got? Just tell me that luck. What do you mean? Tell me there's water. Go ahead. And if there's not water, then I don't have to go ahead. So, yeah, that's exactly the point. If it's not a problem for you to be able to be yotzevi, they suffix. So why should you be serving on the suffix? Okay. Others learn that this is dafka because of the issue of not being mefarsim the suffix to mirbush the rabbi. It's not a general approach to suffix.
It's not the source of all fullness.
Yeah, and Achinami. Certainly the Raven in terms of Sfeikus, absolutely. The new OU approaches of, you know, the peanut chews being milkshakes would be very, very happy with the Raven. Yeah, I mean, it's not our sugya right now. We're okay. Yeah, of course. Vahashlokot. The next case is Bishalakot. Where does that come from? Bishal akum is usher, things that they cook. Minanimim. Om Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, well, you know, this din is actually in the Torah. As Rabbi Yochanan pointed out, Omar Krah, what does it say? It says, Ochel b'kesef tishreini v'achalti. We want to buy now from the goyim, allow us to pass through. Don't think we intend to take advantage of you. We're not a bunch of kikes after all. We'll pay you full value. We'll buy our water, we'll buy food. And mayim, same thing, mayim b'kesef titen livshatiti. I'm actually going to purchase these insanely priced bottled waters. You know, even though I'm stupid enough to buy. So, okay, we'll give you a profit as we go. What's the comparison over here? Mayim. And it's coming to tell me that just like mayim, saying, I'll buy mayim. What do you mean you buy mayim? How do you know? I mean, in those days, they hadn't figured out yet that you need an ouer, but that's on the bottled water. So therefore, I would say, okay, so the only type of water I'll buy doesn't have a hefsher because mayim can't become not kosher anyway. So mayim shelo nishtanu. So I mean, they're going to buy natural water. Okay. In which case, pure silicon water, completely organic. I mean, pure carbonated carbon water. So, afa, no silicon included. Af ochel shalom nishtana. So it means I'm only going to buy food that's in its natural state.
Correct? Raw food, or food that doesn't even cook.
Oh, but that's strange because, I mean, if that's the case, then if they made, let's say, popcorn, so it's not corn anymore. Or you take chitin, you do the equivalent, turn it into klayot. You put it through the avuv shel klayot. So then it's processed chitim, so it should be awesome. Surely you're not suggesting that when they passed through the movie theaters, they didn't buy popcorn. I mean, that's ridiculous. Maybe you'll say, no, they wouldn't buy the popcorn. No, Vatanya, it says beferish, that you're allowed to buy the popcorn in the theaters. Chitim v'asan, we'll see. Yeah. Obviously, we're just starting this one. Chitim v'asan klayot mutarim. So then, but it was nishtaneh. It's not natural chitim anymore, so that can't be the problem. Well, no, I didn't say it right. I meant it's similar to water in that water hasn't changed its entire tsura. That's the point. So here too, Mamayim Shalonish Tanubi Briyatan, it still looks the same. So Ocho Shalonish Tanubi Briyatan hasn't lost its shape. I mean, it may be puffed up, but, you know, puffed wheat is still recognizably wheat. So it wasn't Ishtanubi Briyatan. Look, so you're telling me they couldn't buy flour, in other words, because the flour doesn't look like wheat. So you're going to tell me, Chitim V'tachanam, that's awesome. V'chitim Achinam, maybe you tell me, maybe? No, right? It says beferish chitim v'asan klayot, or which they often did with klayot, and then would grind it up into a sweet flour, and the kemachim and the slatot shlem mutarim. So sorry, that one's dead too. Okay, let's take it from the top, boys. Here's our new drasha. Kemayim ma mayim shelo nishtanu mibriatan ayedei haor. Just like water, if you boil it up, nothing changes. So it means that ochel shelo nishtanu mibriato ayedei haor, through the application of fire. Ah, come on. This is ridiculous. I mean, midi ur ktiv. What does it say in the pasuk? Anything about fire? You know, I mean, you're doing with this pasuk whatever suits you. I keep it. So you bring me a new drasha. I don't like that drasha. I show you bring me another drasha. I mean, come off it. There's no makor for such a drasha. Well, obviously, the whole thing is rabbanan. Elamin rabbanan. But the pasuk is an esmachta bi'alma. I mean, we're not looking for real iser bishul akum midiraita. So actually, here we get to the problem which I mentioned to you, the Mishnah, in the Mishnah Rashi says, as do most in Mefarshim, that the problem of bishul akum is chatut. Mm-hmm. So I'm ready to eat with them. I'm already going to be invited into the house, you know, make sure that they use special pans for me and so on. But that's okay. So I can join all of the seudas. I'll come, you know, for my Christmas Eve dinner. And
Shriver.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, no, the Shriver meal would be not bishulak. They make their own. Yeah. So, and here Rashi says the problem is that we're worried that if you're going to rely now on their supposedly kosher food, they'll give you some food that wasn't in a kosher pot. Or they'll mix stuff in it. So over here it's the problem of kashrus instead of chasnus. So okay, seems to be a contradiction in Rashi, which we'll have to see more of as we go along. But one very important nekuda over here is that either of those approaches are obviated by cooking in your own home. In other words, it's such a big deal. Somebody has a goyish maid and so on. Oh, wait, what are we going to do? She's going to cook. If she's in your home, there's no problem. It's not a problem of chatanut. It's not a problem of davratame worship. There's nothing. There's no non-kosher pots. There's no non-kosher food. She's working for you. So why would there be a problem? So the truth is, many Rishonim say there isn't. That obviously, if the person is working for you, then there can't be a problem of bishul akum, because there can't be chatanut and can't be davratame. In fact, we're machmer, but only the chachiyah. So in other words, the Ramah says, la locha, if b'diavad, a shifcha that's working, first of all, if it's a shifcha that lives in and is owned by you, that definitely has a din of a, that has a din of a member of the family. You used to own a shifcha. In other words, that she's enslaved, even if you would say bisman hazeh, you don't have the din of tefillah and so on. But even a maid, we're makelon b'diavad, like this is a big shaila, because bishul akum asers the pot. Right? I had a mason here in the old city. I don't mention any names, but it was within the family kind of. So one member of the family wouldn't eat by the mother-in-law because she had a Filipino. And I mean, all the pots you can't eat there. All the pots are not kosher and so on. Because even though she says, what does she really know? The Filipino doesn't cook. Of course, but my somebody avad when I'm after. In that case, on the pots. So that this is really nagia. What exactly would the svara be? Okay, tomorrow we'll get into a long list of what issues are included in bishul akum, what are not included in bishul akum. But this is our gentle introduction to the sugya. Bezrat Hashem to be continued. Mistamech v'yazur Rav Yehuda Nesiah katfe the Rav Smaloi shame. Omalei Smaloi. לא היית אמש בבית המדרש כשהתרנו את השמן. אמר לו, בימינו תתיר אף את הפד. אמר לו, no, we're going to get a big trouble. קרלון בית דין השארי, את התלן, היד יוסי בן יועזר, שצוית עליי, על קמצה דכן, על משק בית מנפחי דכן, ועל דייקריב למיטה מסי, וקורא לו יוסף שארי. אמר לו, but that was three, and Marsh are only two, one, you still got one left. Ishori Marchoda Achrita, he still only had two strikes. Akati Tartunu Davin. I'm like, no, they already got me. Ana Sharoi Achrita, Mayhi. Titlan Zegi Tekim Lobati Mikarach Shemazar Kodesh, Amet Batok Shemazar Kodesh. Eno get Vitonila Rabotenu iti ruling Nase. And over there they said, who's Rabotenu? I'm Ravino Mishmo. It's that Beitin, the Sharo Mashka. Well, the Svara is that Savalik Rab Yosef. It was the Manash Roshtar Mokiachalab. Roma Rababa, Reda Pekir Barabba, that's Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah. He was Herodes. The Lord of Koshato, Hamilikul Siato. Omle Rabbi Lazar, Lahis, Lausaba. When you were Mater, was that La Alta Sharitua? Doloati? Or Dumleyakashnim as a Chodeshu? Because at least it's Ikayim Leitznoa. So he said back to him, what are you coming to me for? To Tana Rezigitek, Meakshavim, Lobati, Mikanashnim as a Chodesh. Umate, Betok Shnim as a Chodesh. It's Havigit. Toi Kaim Leitzloi. You could have had the same question in the Mishnah. V'ti boi l'chol ha'alter Havigit edolatoi. Tum l'yakshir was a chodesh. Kaim Leitzloi. No, I would have asked them in the Mishnah of Hinami. It's Mishum David Abu Vinyana. I wanted to know how local amaisa what they did. Omer Abaye. Hakom Odin. L'kishit teitzei chamam in artika means when it happens. L'chinafka. So that for sure. If he dies, Kimayid Belayla would be a get lachar mitah. If he says, I'm not teitzichama min artika, that's definitely machshav. And if he dies, it was still a kosher get, it's a tznai, and it's a get mechayim k'ravuna, diom ravuna kolomer, I'm not k'ravim yachshav tam. The machloket over here, whether to be semer, on the star's date, is dafka im teitzis, we're going to see yourself a grab yosi. That's mana shashtar b'chichalav, so it's the equivalent of saying, mehayom imati, or mechshav imati. Rabbanam Matlur and Yossi in this case, and it becomes equivalent of Zegitech Imati, great. Gufa. Heid Yossi ben Yoezer, Yisrei Dalai, Al Kamsa the Khan, Amash Beman Bechaya the Khan, Al the Akrev Lamitam, Saev, the Korala Yosef Sharia. Let's take it from the top. My Al Kamsa. Rav Papa Mershushiba, Rav Chia Barama Mishwedul Omar Suspil, Rav Papa Mershushiba, Vekabifagi Barosho Aruch, Mar sover rosho aroch asur, umar sover rosho aroch mutar. Rabbi Barami Mishmedula says, no, it's the suspil. Rosho aroch kuli amal plugi de asur, according to Tosfos, the mutar. So Marshava, any rov, even if it's just barely measurable, that's sufficient, and therefore the suspil is kosher. Well, Marshava Rubin Minkar Beidan, you don't have that in a suspil. What do you mean by the Khan? So Rav Omar the Khan Mamash. Shmuel Omer the Khan Latame Achirim, Avatumat Atzman Yeshbem. What's the makhlok? Rav Omar the Khan Mamash Kesava Tumat Mashkin is only Rabbanim. V'chi goes Rabbanim to Mamashkin. The Alma of a Mamashk Be Mabachaya lo goes Rabbanim. Shmuel holds is the Khan Latame Achirim, Avatumat Atzman Yeshbem. See, he holds Tumat Mashkin itself is the Oraita. It's only the Tamei Acherim which is the Rabbanim. There you can say, but he goes, Rabbanim Mamashkin the Alma, but Mamashkin Mamachaya, lo gozer. Val de Akriv Lamita Messiah, Vakar Yosef Shark. But first of all, he should have called him Yosef Asra based on this last case. And not to mention the fact that the Tumas Mate is a Dioraita. No, Dioraita is only the actual guy. The Yakrev Tameh, but somebody is who is Yakrev, the Yakrev is Tahor. So the Rabbanim would go Zerafil the Yakrev, the Yakrev. He came along as Matir, and he was Ukumua Adioraita. No. The Yakrev is also the Oraita. Dechtiva Cholashi Yigabo Atame Yitma. Amru Rabban Kaminar the Rabban, Mishmeh Marzutra, Prayram Nachman. The Omer Mishmeh Rab Nachman. Actually, the Oraita, the Yakrev, only Bechiburi is Tumat Shiva. Shalobi Chiburim, it's Tumat Erev. The Rabbanim came along to be Geyser, Afil Shalobi Chiburim, Tumat Shiva, and Yosef ben Yoezer, and was Mukim and Adioraita. So, and what's the basis of this? The Oraita, my dictim. Hanogev and Betachon never should have Vitamei Shivat Yamim. V'chol Asher Yigabo Atamei Yitma. And then it repeats now a third time, never should have Nogat Yitma the Erev. So, how do you explain that? Okay, it's a Kan Bechiburim, Kan Shalobi Chiburim. Omalei Rova. About Yosef ben Yehoshua. Sofek tuma brishut rabim itir lehem. What do you mean itir lehem? It's a yochata misota gamrinon la. Masota brishut yachid, af tuma brishut yachid. Yes, but remember that Omer Yochanan halacha vein morin kain comes from Yosef ben Yehoshua. He held it was morin kain or lo yeruye. And in fact, on Rami Yochanan Rabino Makoret Korot, he actually went out to Hatzlehem. V'yamah ad kan reshut rabim, ad kan reshut yachid. Kato l'kabit Reb Yanai, he would say, look, there's plenty of water out there. Maya b'shkiyata d'nanara, zilut folu. Hashlakot. Minon emilion b'chir barav, omer b'yokhren amakra, olcho b'kesef tishpareni v'akalti. Mayim b'kesef titeni v'shatiti. So clearly it's kemayim, just like mayim lo nishtanu. Av olcho shlo nishtana. Are you trying to tell me that chitim v'asam klayot are asurim? Alright, so what I meant was so now you're telling me that if chitim v'tachanam it would be osir, v'chitim v'chinami it's b'fer shabraita, chitim v'san klayot kemachim silatot shel mutarim. Okay, and what I meant was kemayim ma'amayim shol nishtanu v'briyatan ha'idei ha'ur. What ur? Where? What does it say ur over here? I mean, ur k'tiv. Elam, the whole thing, of course, is the Rabbanan. V'kras machta bi'alma. Following is the daf from the year 2003 in the previous cycle. All right, here we are, Yom Shlishi La'omer on daf Lamed Zayin. We're in the middle of the sugya discussing the Dover Acher, with the Dover Acher, which was part of the Sugya of Benotehem. Recall at the beginning of the Benotehem Sugya, we had the Shita about the Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, that the meaning of the Gzera Benotehem was that it was a Gzera of Nidot Me'ari Satan, in order that there should be Tumah on them, which would result in a distancing of the Kochavim and Yisrael. In the middle of that discussion, we found what appeared to be a completely different approach, which was the question of whether it was a yichud, when it goes a yichud with avodas kofavim, which seemed to be a completely different approach, actually, although there's a machlokas how to learn whether they are in agreement, at least, about the certain elements. But now, it appears clear from the Gemara, since we learned the the Dover Asher, Mipnei Dover Asher, was a gezera of Zivos on male of Zekachavim, and that gezera on Zivos was only from the age in which they're capable of intercourse, which was 9. Which means that the previous gezera that we fought, at least according to Nachum Bar Yitzchak, which was Nidos Me'arisotan, no longer seems to add up. I mean, because in other words, if what we're interested in is a general rizvah, then the gezera of Tuma would be the same gezera that we would have had there, which was would have been as an infant. And yet Rebbe himself said, you know what, I'm probably wrong about that, and you should accept the opinion that it has to be 9 years of age. Now, by extension, this is today's Gemara, on the end of the first line, Amravina, that by extension, now that you're willing to say that you have to be Ro'i Levia in order to be Matame Beziva, then the din of the Tuma that we were gozer on the Tinoket would not be apparently Me'ari Sotan, but rather would be Bat Shalosh Anim Yom Echad, since a female is capable of intercourse at 3 years of age. So Me'meva Hoyal Beru Uyala V'yam B'tavanam V'ziva. The Gezer over there would be a Tumas Zivas, not Nidos Me'ari Sotan, and would apply only at such time that she too would be Uyala V'yam, and the two would be interrelated. Says the Gemara Pshita. Why isn't that obvious? I mean, if that's the point, then that's the point. Well, I mean, Ma'od Tema, Ha'yad al-Arguli, Ha'aloyad al-Arguli, after all, we're not only talking about physical capacity for intercourse, we're also interested in avoiding a seductive environment. Is a 3-year-old really as seductive as a 9-year-old? I mean, that's a different issue. So, I'm probably the best one to take care of this life. Oh, want to just press So I might have thought that 3 years old is not really sufficiently developed to be seductive, and therefore maybe we should make the din by the female also 9, even though that's not exactly the same as the dependency in being Ruilavia Kamashmalan, that we don't really make any kind of distinction, and that we go according to the shiur that we're mekabel alachalamash mitzinai, that that's a shiur of ruyel of you. Mistan v'azma Rebbe Yehuda Nesiah katfei the Rebbe Smaloi Shame. Now Rebbe Yehuda Nesiah, this is Rebbe's grandson, was walking along leaning on Rebbe Smaloi's shoulders, and Rebbe Smaloi was the one who was being b'shamishim. Amarle, and he said to him, Smaloi, you know, Smalai, you weren't there yesterday in the Beit HaMidrash. We did something very important. We ended up canceling the Gezerah about Shemen Akum. Rabbi Smalai said to him, ah, that is great. I hope the day comes in our time when you'll get rid of this crazy Gezerah against the bread of Akum. I've been looking at that fantastic French stuff they're selling. So he said to him, all right, if I would do that, in Kane Korolon Beit Din Asharia, you know, they'll call us a reform bed thing at that point. We got to be very careful. There's precedence for such a thing. It's not. Hey, Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzreda. We know that Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer was made 3 things. One was Al Ayel Kamsa Dechan, that the type of locust that is called the Ayal, it's similar to an Ayal, but of course it's a Kamsa, it's a locust. That is tahor, is you can eat it. Furthermore, he said that the mashkin in the area of the Beit HaMikdash, it's known as the Beit HaMikdashim, which was around the place where you did the shechita besat sofen and the mizbeach, that any liquids there, which is blood and water, essentially the blood from the animals, the water that was just washed off, the animals of that is tahor. And again, this Gemara is going to go into details about all of this. And furthermore, he was made, now this sounds absolutely crazy, avikrav l'mita misa'ev, that somebody who touches a dead body is tummy. V'korulein, because of that, they called him Yosef Sharia. The big matir, Yosef, they called him. So, now obviously the last piece doesn't make any sense, because he must have been matir something, not answering something. Since I mean, obviously someone who touches a dead body is tummy. The Gemara will go into that also, but it was a kula, as we'll see. And I don't want to be in that kind of position where they're going to call me Yehuda Sharia, you know? So I'm being careful about this. Amarle said to him, now wait a minute, you're being overly careful. Hatam Shara Talat over there, he was matir three things. You've only been matir one thing. You've got two to go. So at least one more, can we get rid of that pot business? So the Ishari Mar Chada Achrita, even if you'd be matir the pot, Akate Tartan Udavian, you'd only be two up. It's fantastic to see that the desire to find to try to find some way out of this desiring. Omar Lay, so Rav Yehuda Nesia told Rav Shmanoi, no, listen, Anasharai Achrita was another thing that's on my record already. They'll get me for it. Mahi, what was that other thing that he was matir? Titznan Zegi Techim Lo Bati Mikan Vashem Asar Kodesh. The person gives a get. He says, this get should be called if I don't show up from now for a period of 12 months. And he dies within the 12 months. Ain't no get. So the Mishnah is not a get because the get then would be called only la'achar moto, and since the 12 months weren't up yet, you can't give a get after that. Tani Allah, now, we learned about that in the Brisa of Rabotenu, and we know who Rabotenu is. He tirua linasei. They said, no, it's okay, she can get married. So I'm linan, and now, you know, want to know who Rabotenu is? Man Rabotenu. And Rav Yehuda Mishmuel says, oh, that was the Beit Din Desharu Mashka. That was that famous Bezdin that was Matir Shemen Akum. Of course, that's back to Rav Yehuda Nesia again. So we know from that 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 was what he was referring to, Rav Yehuda Nesia, when he told Rav Smaloi that he's got another thing on his record already, a big matir.
What's the beginning
of it?
If she was a widow,
I couldn't see it. No, she was a Yibam. Like this. He wanted to part to her from the Yibam.
From
the Yibam. Yeah. So, Sabri Lach, Rav Yosi, what was his far? Huh? Because he held Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi Shita is that Zmano Shashtar Mokiyach Alav. The very fact that a shtar is dated is the equivalent of saying from now. Now let's say the guy had said the fairs me'achshav. This should be a get me'achshav if I don't show up. So then clearly it would be a retroactive get. Over here he didn't say me'achshav, but nonetheless, since he also Rav Yosi that a dated shtar is the equivalent of saying as of this date this should be a get, but we have the condition that needs to be fulfilled. Okay, so then it's perfectly all right. And that's Rav Yehuda Nesia. That was the first strike against him, you see. So he now has two strikes against him already because he was matir the Shema. So he couldn't be matir the pot. The Omer Rababa, greater of Pia Barava, Rav Yehuda Nesia, Hanasi, that's Rav Yehuda Nesia, Horah. He said that that was the din, but lo hodulo kosha. So you know his whole lifetime over. Nobody accepted that fact. Some say that what he said was that the Bezdin didn't go along with it, in which case it wasn't really held against the Bezdin. And then we showed him talk about what was, according to the way Rabba is learning over here, what was the other heter that was, he was worried about. And there is another heter, which was a heter that he gave about a sandal. Sandal being a non-differentiated organic entity that sometimes is found in a birth that was supposed to have been a twin birth. The assumption is that it was a deformed fetus that was actually ruined by a more rapidly developing fetus. And his sheet is that unless the sandal is a tzurat panim, it's not metame leda. The problem with it is the question of whether it's metame leda. So say you have a male, you know, do you have to be kosher if there was a female there, or vice versa, as a twin. In any event, there was something else he had been matir that. That's what Rav Abba was saying. Omalei Rabbi Elazar, Lahu Saba. Rabbi Elazar asked someone that had been there, he said, Kishiri Tua, when you allowed that woman to get married, was that Le'alta Shiri Tua? To Lolati? Is it when the guy died, you were matir her to get married immediately? Because, I mean, obviously he's dead, so he's not going to come. And therefore, retroactively, and we now know retroactively it was a kosher get. So, why would we have to wait to see that he doesn't come? Is it that you waited until after the 12 months already happened in order that there shouldn't be any tosis learns. I mean, why in the world would they have to wait? And he says it would only be as a gezeira in for cases where someone had made it as an actual condition without saying the miach of maybe that they would have been mafim. There's other approaches also. But in any event, what bothers us is why in the world he would ask about the psak of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya when there's a Mishnah that basically could have said exactly the same question about the Tznana Vezegitech Me'afshav. The guy would have said Me'afshav. Now over there, there's not a question. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was only saying that the dating of the get is the equivalent of Me'afshav. Fine, so go straight to the Mishnah. Talk about a case where a man says Vezegitech Me'afshav Im Lo Bati Mikan Vat Shnei Masar Chodesh U Meit Petok Shnei Masar Chodesh, that is a kosher get. That word Yikayim Leitanai is not, it seems to be a mistake. So over there, V'tiboy L'cha, you could say, La'al Tehave Gita, Dolo Asa. Is it a get immediately? Because obviously he's never going to come. Or do you have to wait until after Yud Beis Chodesh in order to say that it was Yikayim Leitanai? See, why didn't you ask on the Mishnah? Why'd you ask this person who was there with Rabbi Yehuda Nasi? Of course I could have asked on the Mishnah. I wanted information, my friend. Mishum da'avit v'ahu minyana. I asked someone who was present at the time of the tzak of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. What did they paskin? Did they insist that she wait, or did they give her a heter on the spot? That's why I asked him. I could have asked theoretically what the din is in the Mishnah, but then who was going to tell me? Omra Abaye says, Abaye, let's just get the whole situation straight, because there are some confusing details about how to view the distinction between a tznai and a me'afshav. So let's say, if somebody would say, that this shall be your get when the sun rises. Now, there he's saying, when the sun rises. So it's l'chinach v'karmalach. V'chimai v'layla, if that guy dies during the night before the sun rises, then it would be a get l'achar mitahu, and it's certainly not a kosher get, because she would need yimah. Now, if he says, on condition that the sun rises, then he's saying, me'afshav. And if he dies during the night, it's perfectly okay. The get b'chaim, or the reason for that, is because we pasuk like Ravuna. Ravuna says that whenever you say on condition, what you mean is, I'm doing this now, and it's conditional upon. But it's now that it's chal. So it's conditional upon sunrise. Okay, fine. So when sunrise happens,
it's
right. So that's for sure okay. The question where we had the problem was on nechutela be'im teitse. You see, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi holds like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, because you don't use the word almanat. So im could be understood as if and when, or if im could be understood as on condition. So he holds like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi holds like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Shita is that Zmano Shoshtar Mokhiyach Halav. And by the way, the Zmano Shoshtar Mokhiyach Halav, if we can explain the Zmano Shoshtar, let's say we have a case, the most practical case, which is used all the time, in modern times, is to write a living will. In order to write a will that can get around the problems of Yerusha, you're not allowed to write a will to redefine the Yerusha. What you can do is you can give a gift, which is a living trust in modern terms, and then if you date the shtar and you say la'achar moti, then it means mi'ayom la'achar moti, and there's no contradiction between the two. Well, because in that case, it can mean that the ownership of the actual body is yours now, but all profits accrue to me, which means that I own the peirot until my death. So then, both make sense, and since you've transferred the actual ownership of the field or whatever it is, you can't sell it anymore. But for all intents and purposes, you're still using it. Now, this is something that is used now all the time for various tax purposes. In giving charity, which you want to control your property, in essence, sometimes you want to use all of the profits, but you also want that there should be no estate taxes or things like that, and you want to get the value of a gift. There's many things that it's valuable for. So this is now done all the time. There, Rabbi Yossi says that Zman HaShashtayim Lofi HaKalavet, and that's fine. The question is whether we would extend it to the Zman HaShoget Mofi HaKalav in the sense that we're over there, I can't split it. So what do I mean? I mean, is it from now, or do I mean Im Moti? Because it said Im something. Okay, so this is a Shaila. Itayin Zman HaShashtayim Lofi HaKalav Lagabe Get here in exactly the same way. Just as if he said, "Give me Akshav Dami." So this was the other thing that he got into trouble for. Well, I wouldn't say, but he was worried about getting into trouble for. And then there, it was, since we're going like Rabbi Yossi, it's Rabbi Yossi Tainan, that it's as if he said, "Mi Ayom Imati," or "Give me Akshav Imati." And the Rabbanan don't hold in this case like Rabbi Yossi, and so they're saying it's the Giteich Imati, greater without saying anything. The things about, you brought up Yossi Ben Yoezer, by the way. I'm a little confused by that. I just want to make sure I understand that gufa. Heyed with Yossi Ben Yoezer, you said, I'll come to the Khan. You said that that's Tor. Al mashke beit b'chaya the Khan. Al v'akriv l'metaz misa'ev v'korev l'yosef sharia. Now that's what you said. They called him Yosef the Matir. Now, first of all, what is an I'll come to? Rav Papa says, well, it's a type of locus called a shushiba. And Rav Chiya Bar Ami Mishmaidula says it's a type of locust called a Suzbil. And the difference between them is an understanding of the issue, which is discussed at length in Chulin, which is how exactly we learn out. The Gemara learns from the way that the Pasuk talks about Arba, Salam, the Chargol, and the Chagav, that this is either a Klal Prado Klal, to find the common denominator between those four species, or it's a klal and prat. And if it's a klal, prat, or klal, then that means that if we have anything that would be similar to these things, and the Gemara goes through, okay, what is similar in these four species? And it turns out they all have four legs, and they all have two additional jumping legs, and they all have wings that are mechasim es rubo. And we're going to see that's a little bit of a problem. They all have four wings, and they have that upper wing and that lower wing. And anything that shares that is kosher. Now the machlokus over here, Rav Papa says that, well, Ayokams is a shushiba. And a shushiba has a elongated head, as opposed to the other four species that are listed over here. And the question is whether the shape of the head was a meaningful element in the species that are listed. So he held, he marshava roshu aruch asur. So the Rabbanan that argue on Yossi Ben Yoezer, they held that, look, the bottom line is whether you view it yourself as being significant in the species or not, it's part of the common denominator, in which case you find something that has the other things, but it also has a Rosh HaAruch, you have no reason to say that it's Mutter. Umar Sava Rosh HaAruch Mutter, the other one says that that's not really a significant finding, and it doesn't matter, as long as it shares the four significancy money. Rav Chiya Bar Ami Mishmei De'ula says, no. The Ayel comes is a Suzbil. A Suzbil. Barosh Aroch Kuleyamalo Pligadiyasa. The Rosh Aroch definitely is a valid requirement. By the way, Tosfos changes this. There's a big machlokes for Shoni. And he brings Rayas that it ought to read at Lo Pligi De Mutter. Everybody would agree that Rosh Aroch is Mutter. The question is whether this other problem of the Suspil is an issue. However, there's says many who disprove Tosis and explain why his rayas aren't binding. And the Suspil has a problem in that although it matches the four requirements, the part about Knafav Chofin et Rugo, one of the four requirements, is only just Chofin et Rugo. And the question that they had was that the Suspil is not similar to the four listed species in the Torah in that all of them have a very clear-cut Chofenes Rubo. The wings are long, and they're Chofenes Rubo. You don't have to sit there with a measurement, with a ruler measuring them. They're clearly Chofenes Rubo. And the question is whether Chofenes Rubo, Yedei Atchak, is considered to be just Chofenes, is enough. Marsava Rubo called Rubina. So Yossi Ben Yoezer held, robe is sufficient. Right? It doesn't have to be visible. Umar sova ruba de min carbine has to be similar to the other four species.
in being eminently clear that it's Kofnes Ruba. And the other case that he said was Mashka Beit Met Bechaya is Dechan. When you say it's Dechan, what do you mean? Ra says, I mean it's Dechan Mamash. It's Tahor. You can't make a Tame, even if you touched it. Shmuel Amar, Dechan Le Tame Acherim. Shmuel says, no. He means that it's Tahor in that if or a bias of it touches something else, it's not going to be Metameh. Aval Tumat Atzman Yeshbam, certainly. I mean, how could we not have Tuma? Well, because of what? What would be the reason? I mean, unless you say it's a Lakamash Mishinai, which our Gemara isn't entertaining. So they would certainly have Tuma Tatsman. What's the Machlo? Guess Rav and Shmuel? Rav Amar Dechan Mamash. That's because Rav Shita is that Tumat Mashkin in general is only a Rabbonim. Even though it says Beferush in the Torah when a Sheretz falls into a Klicheres. So it says, "V'chol ochlin asher nizera asher yafel, v'chol mashkeh asher yishateh." But Rav understands "chol mashkeh asher yishateh" as referring to hechsher, meaning that any ochel that's in there that had touched any mashkeh asher yishateh is tummy, but not that the mashkin would be makabel tuma on their own, but rather they are part of the requirement for the ochel to be makabel tuma. In which case, the din of Tumas Mashkin, which is so much a part of our assumptions that there exists such a thing, is, according to Rav, a Drabonon through and through. There's no such thing, other than, of course, things that are Tamei as liquids because they're Tamei, like Dam Nida or Zivas and things like that. But foodstuffs, Mashkin, or I shouldn't really say foodstuffs, but the Sheva Mashkin that the Torah recognizes as Mashkin, because blood is included in that. So those mashkin are only tamei minarabonah. The sheva mashkin that are used for hechsher, yiraisa, are makabel tumah minarabonah. And when it came to the Beit HaMikdash, in order to avoid having problems of tumah in the Beit HaMikdash, the Rabbonah never made such a gezeira in the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, he holds tumah mashkin as the Rabbonah. And if he goes to Rabbonah tumah mashkin the Alma, the only time the Rabbonah will go through such tumah is in mashkin outside of the Beit HaMikdash. Abu mashkeh beimit b'chaya. Logos Rabbanan. Rabbanan didn't want to create problems in the Beit HaMikdash. Never gave a takana of Tumas Mashkin. Where Shmuel says, no, wait a minute. Tumas Mashkin is the Yeraisa. When it says Bechan over here, it only means they are Tor Milatame Achirim. Certainly they're Makabal Tuma of something touches them. Tuma Datzman Yeshbem. Because after all, it does say in the Torah, V'chol Mashkeh Asher Yishateh. According to Shmuel, it means not hefsher. It means actual Kabbalah's tumah.
But not that they are tumah.
If they touch tumah.
No, but I'm just down with the liquid.
No, of course not. Nobody's suggesting that, but they can be makabel tumah, is the question. So mashka, therefore, the Rabbanan couldn't have taken off a tumah d'oraita. So he holds kitzav a tumat mashkin d'oraita. It's l'tamei acherim, that's the Rabbanan. That mashka can be matami something further. That's only a drabbanon. I there agree that that's what he was referring to. Yossi ben Yehuda, if he goes drabbanon, mashke the alma, but the mashke may be in bechaya lo gazru. And then the third thing you said was that al deakriv lemitam nesaad, that somebody who touches a dead body is tamei, and they called him Yosef Sharia. What do they call him? Yosef Sharia. They're calling Yosef Asra. He's going around now saying that you're tamei. And besides, I mean, what kind of crazy thing is that? It's a pasuk in the Torah, it's the Araisa. I mean, it says, Kol asher yigal pnei atzadeh b'chalal kerevo b'meit, and you're telling me Yosef and Yehezer is mechadish, somebody touches a dead body, his tummy. Point is, that what Yosef and Yehezer was saying, is that the Araisa, the kred tummy, somebody who touches a dead body is tummy. Somebody who touches someone who touched a dead body is tahor. So the akrev b'di akrev is tahor. Va'atu inu, now the Rabbanan has come along and they were gozer, even somebody who touches someone who had touched a mace, is tame. And he comes, wait a minute. And he comes along and he says, no, only someone who touches a mace is tame. Meaning that the kula is the important part, meaning that if he himself didn't touch a mace, but he only touched someone else who touched the mace, then he is tahor. So va'atu iu comes along Yossi ben Yehezer, and he now put the halacha back on the diraisa that only someone who touches the mace. Yeah, except for one minor problem. I mean, Diakrev Nami Diaraisa. I mean, anybody who read the Pasuk knows perfectly well that somebody who touches someone who touched the mace is also Tamei Midiraisa. I mean, look, can we please examine the Pasuk? It says, Gokol Asher Yigabo HaTamei Yitma. So, I mean, it says, someone, the above mentioned Tamei, meaning, Kol Asher Yigah, Gokol Asher Yigah, he is Tamei Shivat Yamin. Gokol Asher Yigabo HaTamei Yitma. That says the Farish. If that Tamei person not touches somebody else, that now that person will be Tamei. So I don't understand how you could possibly suggest that it's only a Takana Rabbanan that Yosef and Yosef is called on to be Matame, someone who touches someone who touched Tamei. Amru Rabbanan Kamei Rabban, Shmei de Marzutra, Rei de Reb Nachman. Now, Rava was there. The Talmidim told over Rava, and we're going to see that Rava didn't like this, but the Talmidim told over Rava and Marzutra's name, And he was Reb Nachman's son. He quoted his father. And he said, Mishmei the Reb Nachman. Well, now wait. Dioraita diakrev b'diakrev b'chiburin to Matshiva. As we will see from the Pasuk. If someone touches someone who is currently in contact with a mate, then that person becomes Tamei Shivat Yamim, as if he himself was in touch with the mate.
Like a chain?
Yeah. While he's still in touch with the mate. But shalom b'chiburin. And I'll show you this in the Pasuk in a minute. If he touches him when he's no longer in contact with the mate, he's only tummy as if he touched the sheretz. So he'd be tummy too much eretz. He didn't go to the mikvah for that. V'atu inu. Now, the Rabbanan came along and they were gozer. Because this is already complex. So, they were gozer any negia in someone who was tummy mate, afilo shalom b'chiburin, is tummy shivat yamin. Now, he came along, Yosef ben Yoezer, and he said, no. Ukmo adioraita, it's back to the way it was, which is only b'chibur and it's tummy. Dioraita, mahi, and when you say dioraita, where do you see this in the Pasuk? Well, take a look. It says, hanogea b'meit l'chol nefesh adam, v'tamei shivat yamim, right? Now, it says, v'chol ashi yigabo hatamei yitma, and then continues on to say, v'hanefesh hanogat yitma ad ha'arav. Now, how do you explain that? First, it makes it very clear that kol ashi yigabo hatamei yitma as above. And then it says, as if we're talking about a new subject, v'hanefesh hanogat, that's what you just said. And yet here it says, ad ha'arav. I mean, so what is this? Okay, so the point is this. That hanogeya, b'chol ashi yigab bo, so if he's bo and threw him to the mate, so then he's tamei as above. But if he's only a nefesh hanogat, meaning in this secondary man, then he's tamei ad ha'arav. And that's the explanation, akeitz of kan b'chiburin, kan shelo b'chiburin. Amaru Rava, so Rava, that they had said this over to the name of Reb Nachman, he often said this when people said wrong things in the name of Reb Nachman. He would say, how many times have I told you, Lava Buki Reb Nachman? I keep telling you to stop hanging these empty bottles of Reb Nachman and claiming that he said it, because it's, I mean, I don't disagree that that's the halakha, but that is not what Yosef ben Yoezer was referring to. Hoki Amar Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman said what Yosef ben Yoezer was referring to is, and the explanation for why he held it was Buki Tzriki, the Rishonim talk out, is because that means that the main point is missing. The main point wasn't that someone who touches a mace is tamei. The main point is someone who touches a mace is tamei shivas yamin, is what he should have said. But if you weren't touching the mace, the implication would be you wouldn't be tamei shivas yamin. But saying it this way implies some other question that's involved. And that's what Reb Nachman said. Reb Nachman said that what Yosef ben Yoezer had said was that someone who touches a mace, meaning he knows that he touched a mace, is tamei. If he doesn't know that he touched the mace, then he's not tamei. And what he essentially was mantra was subject to Mabrushat Rabim, and he said, subject to Mabrushat Rabim is Tahor. And he was mantra. No, Yosef ben Yoezer, according to Reb Nachman, that's what he was, the point he was making. What do you mean he was mantra? Any idiot knows it. That it's Ayokasabim Sotagamirna. I thought we learned that out as Halakha L'Mesh Misina. Some, by the way, don't use the word Yilchus HaGemirla in this case, not what it usually means. It's Halakha L'Mesh Misina. It's a Machlokas Rishonim, whether it's Halakha L'Mesh Misina or it's a straight out Nimut from Sota. But we do learn out from Sota, from the words that, Titma, that Ma Sota Rishuta Yachid. By definition, a Sota has to be Rishuta Yachid. because she has to be alone. That's been this terah. The meaning of Rishut HaYachid and Rishut HaRabim here has absolutely no relationship to the meaning of Rishut HaYachid and Rishut HaRabim in terms of Shabbat. It's not the structure of the area. It has to do with the number of people who are present. So any place that's three people present is Rishut HaRabim.
So it could be out in the middle of a...
It could be out in the middle of an absolute Rishut HaRabim and still Rishut HaYachid and vice versa. And, and that's the basis of the Torah, because the Torah said that Nistirabi Nitma, so Nistirabi, it was her and the man. And it couldn't have been somebody else there, it wouldn't be the Nistirabi. So therefore, we learn out from there that the Nitma, to call somebody Tamei Bevadai, is only in a case where it was a Tumah Brishut HaYachid. Okay, there's questions, does that mean by implication, is a Heter Brishut HaRabim? Tosis is a major Tosis at the beginning of Nida that goes through this also in other places. But are we talking about where there's a Cheskas Taira? If we're talking about a Cheskas Taira, we don't need the Lima from Saita. Because if you have a Sopik and you go according to Chazak, and Tosis points out over here that the case the Gemara is talking about, which somebody has a Sopik, whether he touched, you don't really need to learn from Saita. The Gemara is talking this out now just in general. We only need to learn Bershut HaYokim Sveikot Tamei Badai, but not that Sveikot Tahar Bershut HaRabim. In any event, Yossi Ben Yoezer reiterated that halacha. And it said that Masot Rishut HaYachid after Rishut HaYachid. And what did he do then that was so different that they got upset about? Because Rabbi Yochanan halacha the Ein Morin Kein. Because Rabbi Yochanan said, even though that's halacha, we do not publicly make hell to that extent. If somebody comes along, you're not Mora to him to say, don't worry about it. Comes along Yossi Ben Yoezer and he says, no, absolutely. Well, Orilei Orui, he said, you can rely on that 100%. Don't worry about it. And Tanya Nami Yossi, Rabbi Yudah Omer, Rabbi Yudah actually says it in Braisa, but Yossi Ben Yoezer took korot, he took boards, and he was na'atle, and he put them into the ground in order to show people, look, he said, Adkan Rishut HaRabim, Adkan Rishut HaYachid. You have a problem, if you touch Tumah on that side, it's going to be Tomei. On this side, it's Tar. So obviously he was being Mora, I mean, he was putting down korot, that means he wanted everybody to know about it. He also, the comment of Rabbi Yanai, truth is, though, when they would come, Lamaisa, to ask Rabbi Yanai what the halacha is, Amar Lahu, he would say to people, you know what? Hamaya Bashik Ata de Minahara. See, look at all the books. What's your problem? Go to the mikvah. There's plenty of water around. You know what? There's a water shortage. There's water. Go to the mikvah. And what do you need to have a suffix for?
Rabbi Yanai was involved, right?
Yeah, now look. This is an extremely nogea psak of Rabbi Yanai and causes a lot of problems on Lakhala Maisa. Because the grub bases on it, the general din, that even though we have halacha that says Safik Drabbanan Lakula, we don't say Safik Drabbanan Lakula in a case where you can easily handle it without depending on the Safik.
Because of this
Gemara. And actually the Mishnah Berurah brings this halacha l'maisa. So in cases where, like it was Nogea, where he brings it like Abinat Tilat Yadayim as a Safik, whether the water was good or the... So it's okay, so Tilat Yadayim again. Because even though Rabbi Yanai is Moda, that of course if the person had touched Tyrus, the Tyrus would be Tar, and so on, you're relying on it. But if it's a Lekat Chila, you want to do it. So if it's not too much Tirchah, what does it cost you to do things right? Do things right. Now the same sugya shows up, Lagabe, the question of the Dover Sheshul Matirin, which is over there, the Svara, according to Moses, that Ashi Ochlenabeh, the Yisur, Ochlenabeh, there. Because if it's possible to deal with something, the heter, why deal with it? Because there's cases of extensions of that halacha, Dover Sheshul Matirin, that require this Rabbi Yanai's psak. It looks like a little nothing, you know. But it ends up being really a significant psak. And the next case that we had, essentially, is Bishul Akum in the Mishnah.
This was Rabbi Yanai was in bubble? So that there was river and like water.
Oh, you mean around. You think it would be otherwise? And here we say it was wasting water. Well, he says Bishikata to the heart. It's all the way down there, you know. Maybe.
Why was Rabbi Yossi called a matzah? It's just being made that this is... It's not that he's haskin these halachas. He's just being made that this was the Messiah.
That he had been so mekabel.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. That too is dangerous. As you know, from their book. All he did was say over what these gedolim did. It's dangerous.
Opposite
So how could he say Azkan?
Yeah.
Because what he was doing, really, he was marking off areas in which people, there were fields that people were makbid, that no one should go on. And those areas were assumed to be Rishus HaYochid because nobody would be there. But because there's a halacha that Arba Amei Samach Rishus HaRabim, people often, you know, if there's too much traffic, they go even, you know, they go into the next guy's field. So he marked off that area along the length which is around that people shouldn't think that that's the Rishus HaYochid. And the next case we had in our Mishnah was Shlakot. And Shlakot means cooking of an akum. So minani mili, how do we know that cooking of an akum is also? At this point, the Gemara thought that there was a basis in the Torah for this. So here, Klal Yisrael wants free way of passage, and says, look, I'll buy food from you, I'll buy, don't worry, we wouldn't take anything for nothing. We Jews pay our way. And the comparison over here is to the ochel to the mayim. So apparently, it's just like mayim. Ma mayim shalom nishtanu. Apocha shalom nishtanu. We wouldn't buy anything that wasn't raw. Oh, no, wait a minute. So that would, if you really mean that as a drasha, so that means you couldn't buy puff wheat. I mean, say you have chitim, and now they were also unklayot, shot from guns, of course. So hachinami, according to that, they would be usher. And don't try to tell me that yes, that's true, because it's not true. Chitim hachinami, v'atani, the bright that says beferush, chitim v'atah klayot. If you had chitin and the goy made them into klayot, they're perfectly mutarim. So why is that?
Because they can be eaten raw.
It's not a takona. Obviously, it's not a comparison to mayim. We don't know anything yet. Well, okay. So then it's kemayim. Mayim shel nishtanu mibriyatan. I don't mean that it was lo nishtanu, period. I mean, it's lo nishtanu mibriyatan. That is that the water is recognizably water. So the puff wheat is recognizably wheat. Oh, yeah? So flour? Flour? Then you take chitim, you grind the chitim. You're not allowed to buy that from a goy, if this is the marker. You're going to tell me you can't buy flour from a goy? And don't try to tell me, yes, it's usur. The same right that makes it clear, chitim vasan klayot, or kemach or solet shalayim of goyim, or mutarim. So it's not that it wasn't changed either. Now, what are you going to say now? Well, I mean, it's like water, just like water wasn't changed through the use of fire, so too food that wasn't changed from its format through the use of fire. So, come on, enough is enough. I mean, need a ur, what does it say thing about fire here? I mean, how much are you going to read into a pasuk? Element Rabban, and obviously we've got some kind of takona over here. And the psukim that you're bringing are smachtot. I mean, so the core smachtot of the Alma. What is the basis of the takona? It's very interesting. Rashi in the Mishnah said the basis of the takona was chatanut again, in order to avoid being invited into a, you know, party, and so on. Whereas here, Rashi says the problem is davar tameh. We're afraid if he cooks, maybe he'll put in something that isn't kosher in it, and so on, non-kosher ingredients. And a lot of discussion among the Mefarshim why Rashi changes from here to there. Is there something in the sugya that implies that we now are looking at it differently?
It's different eating. Different foods.
Well, it would be different circumstances, perhaps. For instance, we have a rive here that Tosfos brings that suggests that if a goy is cooking in your home, then you wouldn't have these chashashot. So, I mean, you have a goyish maid, so who are you going to marry? I mean, what are we talking about? So maybe it should be mutter, you know. And Tosfos disagrees with that. If there's a chash that you're going to mix non-kosher food, how do you know she doesn't have something non-kosher? So that would be already, I mean, a difference what the time is. All right, tomorrow we'll see what the limitations are. Certainly not every food is. That's also because of Bishalakum.